In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brother spent his life serving in the United States Navy. He was, of course, deployed on various vessels a number of times over the years, including the days of the Vietnam War. He has three children, my two nieces, Kirsten and Karen, and my nephew, Tommy Jr. The interesting thing is that all three of them were born while he was away at sea. They didn't meet their father until their father returned from wherever he was. We've all seen video of military men, and now even women, returning from service, coming home to greet their children again, and some of the men coming home to greet their children for the first time. I mention this because the Christians have a similar experience in the kingdom of Christ. We became sons and daughters of the King, being born anew in holy baptism. That makes us, by the way, not just children of God, but a prince or a princess, royalty. There are even crowns. As St. Paul wrote to Timothy, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. St. James wrote, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And Peter wrote, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And how many confirmation students haven't chosen for their verse, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. By your new birth in holy baptism, you are really a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, all that speaks about the future. Right now, however, our problem is, as St. Peter wrote in today's epistle, according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again through Jesus Christ. And then he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We hear of the same problem in today's gospel. Thomas refused to believe because he did not see the risen Christ for himself. Well, to all our Lord says today, however, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What is it we are to believe? A lot of people believe in all sorts of things, from truth to myth, from fact to fantasy. How can people believe in myths or fantasies? Some people, when they say they believe, they mean that faith is just a blind decision of their own mind, their own creation, not requiring any facts or objective truth. Some people confuse faith with emotions, like patriotism or loyalty to the family. Then there are those who actually believe in false gods, the product of human imagination, such as Mohammed and Islam, Joseph Smith of Mormonism, the Baha'i faith founded by Baha'u'llah in 19th century Persia. And then there are, of course, Indian religions, animism, to name only a few. Today, there's a growing category called, quote, spiritual but not religious. whatever that means. What is it then that makes Christianity and Judaism before it different? Facts. Some provable, but all historical facts, that is, according to Orthodox, what we call historical grammatical teaching. The historical critical camp, on the other hand, has tried to dump the facts and has succeeded to some extent, taking faith in a completely different trajectory. So notice how the hymn of the day, which we will sing soon, is really only a retelling of the facts of today's gospel. The account of the risen Jesus, appearance to his disciples at Easter, and then again with Thomas a week later. It is the history recorded in the Holy Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that tell the facts of our Lord's birth into this world, his life and ministry, then his goal of offering himself as the Lamb of God, even to death, raised from the dead 3 days later, and now ascended back into heaven, living and reigning over all creation. The New Testament tells us the facts. Facts of his divine and human natures in one person, and his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the Holy Trinity. He is the incarnate God. Now we admit that these are historical facts supported by physical evidence, and yet still we list them under the words, I believe. We believe precisely because we have not yet seen with our own eyes. We believe because the Holy Spirit has drawn us to the gospel and moved us to trust in the inspired, prophetic, and eyewitness apostolic scriptures. And yet we're still sort of like Thomas and like those children whose father was deployed elsewhere when they were born. But this is different. This is different. For our earthly fathers, as human beings, can only be in one place at a time. Our Lord, on the other hand, as the divine Son of God, is omnipresent, present everywhere. As St. Paul says of God our Father, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also the one to come. But he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the Easter message, that as our Lord appeared to his disciples and then disappeared and appeared again to some others, appeared and disappeared, they and we are to learn that he is truly present with us, whether we can see him or not. But even better than that, he has given us the way for us to know that he is not only everywhere, but that he is everywhere for us. This is the significance, of course, and meaning of the sacrament of the altar, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist. Not only do his words of institution tell us that with this bread and cup set apart for this use, we receive his body and blood, but that also in this meal we receive the forgiveness of our sins as this, his crucified and risen body and blood is given, guess what? For you. So very real is Jesus' sacramental presence that we dare to sing in the hymn, Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace and all my weariness upon thee lean. Yes, how blessed were those first apostles, those disciples. How blessed was the mother of Jesus and her relatives. How blessed was Thomas, who, when he saw the feet, the hands, the side of his risen Lord, cried, "You are my Lord and God." And how blessed will be all believers when we on that final journey go that Christ is for us preparing, we'll gather in song, our hearts aglow, all joy of the heavens sharing, and walk in the light of God's own place with angels, his name adoring. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.